welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls, Massachusetts, on this first Sunday in the season known as Epiphany. I'm joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettinay, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. So, Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Let us call ourselves to worship. As a family of faith, we have received into our number infants and adults who have been baptized into the name of Jesus. What a blessing to realize that God's grace and purpose begins in their lives and our own with that sacred act. We are reminded of these words: "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are." As his children, we now pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, we are going to have a mission moment by Martha McCatton, who has lost her internet this morning, so she's calling in on the telephone. So Martha, would you please do our mission moment? Do you know how to unmute yourself? It's star six, I believe.
I think so. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Well, as we had told you before, our January mission is to help the homeless in in the Attleboro area. We have reached out to Pam Turallo of the Attleboro Area Interfaith Council, and she's told us that there are a number of people who have been in a shelter in a hotel in Rainham, and the AAIC is one of the agencies involved in having this happen. During this day, our Daily Bread is providing services with two meals, and for the Attleboro people, the AAIC is providing bus passes. So there are many things that these people need in terms of our support. When they leave the shelter, they may need things that have been ruined while they were gone, like blankets and tents and necessities. So Pam has given us some options about how we could donate. We could donate to AAIC with a stipulation that it's for the homeless. We could donate to Our Daily Bread because they're giving all the food. Or we could split that. We could do whatever we wanted. But at the moment, we're asking for monetary donations. If we connect with Pam again, we'll ask her about what kind of necessities we could also donate. But we're still working on it a little bit, and we're concerned for these people, and we know you are too. So thank you.
Thank you, Martha. For those of you who don't know, the acronym AAIC stands for the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative, which is the thing that was born out of the Council of Churches, the Attleboro Area Council of Churches. According to our bylaws, we have to begin to read the warrant for our annual meeting for two Sundays before. So sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Thank you. I think what you missed me saying is the AAIC is the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative, which is the thing that came out of the Attleboro Area Council of Churches, and that's what she was talking about there. And according to our bylaws, for 2 weeks before the annual meeting, we need to read the warrant. So I'm going to read the warrant now. In accordance with the bylaws of Central Congregational Church, Article 6, Section 2A, the 146th annual meeting is called for Sunday, January 24th, 2021, immediately following the 10 a.m. service. The purpose of the meeting is to act upon the following business. Article 1, to receive and approve the annual reports of the officers, boards, committees, and auxiliary organizations of the church. Article 2, to discuss and vote on the allocation of quest funds for 2021. Article 3, to hear a report on the use of the 2020 bequest funds. Article 4, to report on the current capital improvement project. Article 5, to remember our departed members. Article 6, to act upon the report of the nominating committee. And Article 7, to act upon any other business that may come before the annual meeting. And this is signed by Kate Marsland, our moderator. So saying that, it's time for our announcements. And first, I would like to say that for Nancy Mitchell, our financial secretary, she has a request. At this time of the year, we know that some people are catching up on their pledges for the past year. So she asks that if you're sending in a check, please put the year of your pledge or gift on the memo line of your check, either 2020 or 2021. And that would be a tremendous help to her. There are a few pledge envelopes left on the shelf outside the church office. If you can't get here to get it, let us know and we'll get them to you another way. The building, of course, is open again every day for the child care center, so you can feel free to come in and to pick those up. Gil Reinders has delivered the new booklets for daily meditations, and you will find those on the shelf outside the church office as well. Are there any other announcements that we need to make? If so, please feel free to unmute yourself and shout it out. Seeing none then, Mr. Dave, would you please introduce your music to us?
Yes, good morning, everybody. The opening hymn that we heard was, of course, We Gather Together, and I'm glad that we do gather together. And we're over 50 people today, so that's a pretty good attendance record today. So we thank God for that we can all be together. The hymn that we're going to sing is All Things Bright and Beautiful, and the hymn lyrics were sent out in an email if you got them that way, or you can go down to the chat button, and if you click on that, on this Zoom meeting, you'll see the verses and the lyrics are in the chat section, and there's three verses. There's a short intro, and then we sing three verses, and there's refrains that keep going in between the verses. So you'll see that. Let's all sing together, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All creatures great and small, all things wise and and wonderful the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors and made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The purple-headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, God made them every one. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. And we turn to our celebrations as a church, and we do indeed celebrate the fact that we can be together, at least over this medium. Do you have any celebrations you would like to mention? Please unmute yourselves and tell us about them. Well, if not, then let us turn to our concerns.
I have a celebration. My granddaughter Sophie just got her license, and Allie has had it over a year, so now they're sharing the same car, but I don't think it's going to be for long. I think they're going to go out and buy their own cars. But that was my celebration. My Sophie got her license.
Well, good. Thank you for warning us all that there are two new drivers on the
road. Yes, two new drivers up there.
Okay, great.
Consider that.
In a white Jeep.
Okay, I'll watch for that white Jeep.
Consider that one of the concerns as well.
Yes, one of the concerns. Yes.
I'm with you in both directions.
Right. Jackie, you have your hand up.
I'm going to be a great-grandmother again.
Oh, wonderful.
Next month, it's a little girl, and they already named her Chloe.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Any other celebrations? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. Of course, we pray this morning for all the people that we know who are ill and others in need of prayer. And included on our regular list, we have Loretta and Chad, Ed and Janet, Brigitte, Bert, that's Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Doris, Walter, Marie, Lee, Melissa Mary, that's Nancy Mitchell's niece, who is an NP and she suffers from COVID-19. We pray for Carol, for Len, who has gone to the Sachem House in East Bridgewater, Marge, Baba Boyan's sister, Mary Ann, Warna Rinda's aunt, also suffering from COVID. We pray for Jane and her family, for the Bashan family as they lay Carol to rest tomorrow. The memorial service will be sometime in the future. We don't know when yet. Gil, who is recovering from surgery this past week and facing eye surgery this coming week. So, but Gil, we have you in our thoughts and prayers. We pray for all victims of COVID-19, especially those who have perished from it and their families, and Carol for future surgeries. For those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, it's just down to Jackie Glass and Carolyn Farrell, who is in the assisted living in Newton. As always, we continue to pray for all of the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all on the forefront of that battle. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the health of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So let us pray for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Loving Father, we remember the willingness of Jesus to choose a life of courage, compassion, faithfulness, and concern for the downtrodden. The willingness of Jesus to choose a committed life with a community of disciples, very different in viewpoint, background, and abilities. And we remember the willingness of Jesus to confront the corrupt practices, the stagnant traditions of his day. Help us to reflect on our willingness to follow in his footsteps. We thank you for this, our faith community, for its life of worship, its links of fellowship, its work of challenge and compassion, and its guidance in helping us to be better disciples. We thank you for the sacrament of baptism, for its sign of new birth and its sign of welcoming friendship, its promise of discipleship. And joyfully, we thank you for your own son, Jesus, for his moment of anointing, his will to carry out your mission, his unswerving purpose. We rejoice that we may be counted among the company of the baptized. On this day, we pray for our nation. We pray for those who lost loved ones last Wednesday as a result of the terrible situation in Washington, D.C. We pray for those who do not see the world as perhaps we see it, and ask your blessing on our nation as we try to heal, to mend, and have forbearance for those with whom we disagree. In fellowship with the believers gathered here this morning, we pray for those inside and outside our community of faith, those whose names we have mentioned in your presence, and now offer up the names of others during this time of silence who are in need of your strength and healing. Gracious God, help us to be worthy of the one whose baptism tests our faith journey and secures us within the family of God, for it is in his name that we pray these things. Amen.
Today, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark. Well, the Gospel of Mark is considered to be the first of all the Gospels written. Mark has no Christmas story about Jesus' birth, but starts his Gospel with Jesus' cousin John, who had become known as the Baptizer. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 1, and verses 4 through 11. Please hear these words. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. So Mark begins not with a Christmas story, but with those words that you just heard, that Wayne had read. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A visitor to the Grand Canyon looked at the mighty panorama of God's craftsmanship and said, man, something happened here. That's what Mark's gospel is saying about this event. Something happened there. You read the gospel of Mark and you get the impression that Jesus had come to take charge of the world. He had come to release you from whatever holds you back, to set you free from whatever enslaves you, to heal you of whatever ails you, to fill your life with meaning and joy. Mark had one signal purpose in writing his gospel, to present Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of all the people, the Lord of all life. He wants his readers to grasp the fact that in Jesus Christ, the limitless power of God has been made available to each one of us. And how does that happen? In being baptized by John. When I was a child, I spent a period of time being very afraid of the water. One day at the age of 5, in the late fall in a weedy pond in New Hampshire, I managed to fall in the water with a snowsuit on. My father finally noticed my absence and pulled me out unconscious, and with artificial respiration was able to revive me. After that, understandably, I was terrified of the water, but my parents were determined that I should learn to swim because my first cousin just a year before had died by drowning. They were very patient with me. I fought the water because it seemed like the enemy. But eventually I learned that the water was not something to be fought. When I stopped fighting and learned to trust the water to hold me up, then I became a swimmer. In fact, in time, my parents were hard pressed to ever get me out of the water. I even passed all the requirements to be a lifeguard, except for one. My vision was considered legally blind without my glasses. And for some silly reason, they thought I needed to be able to see my victims in order to rescue them. Oh, well, I never did become a lifeguard. But I loved water skiing and scuba diving and any excuse to be in the water. Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. It's always the Sunday after what we call Epiphany. There is a lot of confusion surrounding the sacrament of baptism because we do it in so many different ways. And some people are afraid of the water, like me. They are afraid of physical water and won't go near it. Others are afraid of the waters of baptism. They're afraid of the commitment that that water represents. And many people have never really appreciated the significance of their own baptism because after all, most of us were infants when we were baptized and we don't really remember it. That's why we need to listen carefully and think and really participate in each baptism that we celebrate as a church because each is such an occasion becomes a way of reaffirming our own baptisms. So baptism first is a statement about what we believe. There's nothing magical about the water we use or the words we say at baptism. Baptism has to do with God's grace and our response to that grace. The United Church of Christ is a partner church of a denomination called the Disciples of Christ Church, known in other places of our country simply as the Christian Church. We are very similar in our polity. Polity is the way we govern ourselves. We're very similar in theology and worship, but we differ in two places. We differ in the sacraments. The Disciples of Christ require adult baptism by full immersion in a baptistry. If you've ever been in a Baptist church, you would probably not notice the fact that right up at the altar, there's usually a moving floor that will go back and it's filled with water in order to baptize people who are adults or confirmands, as we call them, or adults. Several years ago, the St. Charles Avenue Christian Church in New Orleans had a serious fire in the sanctuary. And following that fire, the assistant fire chief, who happened to be a Roman Catholic, was wandering around the sanctuary and inspecting the damage to the ceiling. Looking up, he failed to notice the baptistry in front of him and fell into it. And ironically, it was filled with water due to the fire hoses. The fire chaplain, also a Roman Catholic priest, came in about that same time. Pulling himself out of the water, he asked the chaplain just what kind of religion this was. And he said, well, they're disciples of Christ. And he said, well, Father, I don't know anything about them, but I think I'm one of them now. Well, just falling into a baptistry doesn't really make us a part of the faith, doesn't make us a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized, we confess our faith in God and in Jesus Christ, or in the case of infants, the parents and the whole congregation make those vows on behalf of the infant. We confirm those vows for ourselves during the rite of confirmation, usually following a course of study in our teenage years. Baptism also says something about what we are supposed to do. People traveled out into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist. They were so caught up in his fiery preaching that they were baptized. And Jesus also went out to hear John, but he wasn't caught up in John's fiery preaching. He went for the sole purpose of being baptized. For Jesus, baptism was an act of obedience to God. Obedience to God is central in baptism. And Jesus accepted John's baptism to be a role model for those of us who would come after him. And we are also called to answer to God and be obedient as Jesus was to God. And what are we to do? We are to do as Jesus revealed in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you gave me clothing, sick and in prison and you visited me. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of your brothers and sisters, you did it to me." Finally, baptism declares to whom we belong. Last week, you may remember, I talked about the Magi. I said there were five kings in the story, the traditional three Magi, Herod, and the baby Jesus. Well, the Magi are long gone. King Herod died within a very brief time after killing the babies around Nazareth in order to save his kingship. An unsuccessful attempt, obviously. Only Jesus Christ remains. We humans are temporal. We are here for a brief time only. The disgraceful acts in the capital of our republic this past week remind us of this fact. Our baptism reminds us that there is only one king to whom we owe our allegiance, Jesus Christ and Christ alone. We belong along with the whole world to God, our creator, God's son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. These are the very words with which Christians are baptized, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so be it. Amen.
Receive the benediction. Grant, Lord, that what we have heard according to your word and said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts and practice in our lives. And by your mercy, keep us faithful through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That will conclude our service for today. So for those of you who'd like to hang around and join us in our coffee hour, please do so. Feel free to unmute yourself and join the discussion.